group this morning. Thank you.
That's how it works, right?
Yeah, the slam dunks aren't. All rise. Bing.
Okay, I have 8 o'clock. Good morning, everyone. We'll call the meeting to order, and can we get the roll call?
Yes, Yvette Itu.
Here.
Bruce Rinker.
Here.
Dan Moore.
Here.
Three members are present, which constitutes a quorum.
Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can I get a motion for approval of the minutes from the June 19th?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, can we get the financial report, please?
Absolutely. Good morning, Commissioners. As we get the PowerPoint up, great. There we go. So we're going to talk about June and also the first half of the year, but before we start, I wanted to kind of set the framework for what you're going to see. And so I went back and I wanted to evaluate our numbers. And so this is probably not going to come as any big surprise, but there was significantly more rain in 25, the first half than 24. And in northern Ohio, from May 15th to June 30th, there were 67% more rain than the prior year. April 25 was the sixth rainiest month in the last 30. And then if you go to the first half of the year, from December to February, the average temp was 29.2, which probably sounds normal, but that's actually below the historical norm. We had snowfall of 31.3 inches in that period, which is much greater than recent years. 10 days of at least 1 inch. The snowiest day was February 16th. We might all remember that, 2025, when we had 4 inches. There were other notable factors. We had wind gusts of over 50 miles per hour, which took down numerous trees, which we had to deal with. And Cleveland experienced 60 cloudy days and sunshine only 40% of the available hours in that first 3 months of the year. Now, I'm sure I don't sound like the Chamber of Commerce encouraging people to come to Cleveland by saying all that, but what it does do is it tells you kind of why this first 6 months is different than 24. And so often we talk about looking at 2 and 3 years back. These reports look at 1 year back, so they're going to be a little bit different. And then lastly, in the first from December 1st to February 28th, Cleveland had 57 days of snow this winter. Last year was 37 days of snow. So all of that just compounded to make it very difficult for many of our operations. So with that as a backdrop now, and I'm not applying to be a meteorologist. I love being a CFO.
We've heard the bad. We've heard the bad.
You've heard the bad news. Now we're going to hear the good news. Yes. Okay, the good news. First one, right there, you're kind of wondering, I'm sure, hey, what's the $8 million that popped up in June? That was actually two things. One, we finally got our $6.5 million from Solon for the Solon Chagrin Falls Trail. We also had a $1.2 million ODOT grant that came in on a cash basis. So that's $7.7 million of that. Otherwise, we're about right in line. It doesn't show up here in property tax, but you've heard me talk about this. In earlier months, we got our second half advance just this past Tuesday. It was $11.509 million. That compares to $11 million last year. The reason that's important is you get a percentage of everything collected to date, which means the collection in the second half of this year are running ahead of the collections in the second half of last year. Part of that might be the delinquencies that they're catching up with. But it's a good sign. It means collections are going a little bit better this year in the second half than last year. We won't know the full result till it's all in, and that'll show up next month in this line. That'll be higher than normal. But the other thing I did want to point out is revenues in total, right there. If you just look at everything we do holistically, we're up 6.5%. and expenses are up 6.45%, so we're running well. Revenues are up overall. We're controlling expenses to what we thought they would be. Let's advance this. There we go. Golf. Wait, did I skip zoo? I'm sorry. I'm going to go back. There we go. Zoo. Nothing to highlight other than I'll point out that general admission revenues are down 32%. I just read the weather report, too. That's the directly impacted by the weather. All in all, revenues for the zoo right now are down about 20% year over year. The positive, and compliments, I know Dr. Kuhar is here, they're holding expenses in line. Expenses are only up 3.4% year over year. So even though revenues are lagging, they're doing a great job at controlling expenses. And we're hopeful that as the weather gets better, it can't get much worse than the first 6 months, we'll start to see a close on that gap right there. We also just, as you know, Asian Lantern Festival just started. Sales are going well. And there's some other exciting new projects they're going to have coming on board. So we're hopeful that that will come around. But right now, it's just lagging a bit. Now we'll go to golf. And the one thing about golf that really caught my attention is if you look at month over month, they actually beat the month of June 24 and the month of June 25, even given all the weather issues. So they're closing the gap. You can see we're behind a little bit. Greens fees to date are down 3.4%, but rounds played are down 9%. What's the difference? Well, we raised rates this year a little bit, so that helped close the gap. Overall, and in talking with golf staff leadership, rounds played were down 12% year to date last month. Now they're down 9%. So people are starting to play more. The weather's getting better. June was a little bit better. And again, hopefully the weather turns, things will come around. One thing that did catch my attention is this pro services. It's up this month and it's still lagging, but as you might guess, it's a psychological thing. People are not working with their pros, taking lessons if the weather's not good. As the weather starts to turn, they want to get lessons, they want to get out and play. And so that was just kind of an anomaly that jumped out at us. But we're hopeful that golf will, again, turn the corner. They're doing a good job also at holding expenses while revenues are lagging a bit. I did want to point out three of the individual golf courses that are ahead of where they were last year at this time. And that would be Mastic, Sleepy, and Shawnee Hills are all doing really well. A couple had some challenges. When you think about Washington, they had some net repair work going on there as they worked on the nets. So that hurt the driving range revenue a little bit, which is a big revenue source for them. But we did have three courses that year over year, year to date are up. So those three should be pointed out. Lastly, in enterprise, again, a good month. It's $50,000 ahead of where it would have been last year in June. You can see we're still behind. We're at profitable, but we're still behind where we were. And the biggest driver to that positive in this month, and also what's helping keep this close year to date, is Merwin's. Look at the dramatic difference there. In the first half of the year last year, Merwin's had positive operating results of $18,000. Now it's got positive operating results of $91,000. So big shout out to the Merwin staff. They're just doing an excellent job. You can see that what they've done up here is they've really held expenses in line. Revenues are running about the same, but by bringing expenses down a little bit lower, more in line, it really drives bottom line. And other than that, the other enterprise operations are about where we thought they would be, given the weather and the other factors that they're up against right now. But we're keeping an eye on each one, and we're comfortable with where they are right now. We really want to evaluate July, looking at July through the first 17 days. We're on the 17th day now. They're doing well, and we'll see what August brings. Hopefully this rain will just get out of here and go away. And then that's the rest of the enterprise operations, nothing of note. And then the last item I did want to point out, you can see top line revenues are about $90,000 behind where they were last year. And I've mentioned this a couple times, but it's worth repeating. When we had the eclipse gross revenue was worth about $90,000, 90 to 100. So they're running where they should be. And then the last thing I have to point out, even though accountants don't like to point this out, that operating number of $107,000 is inaccurate. And I didn't catch it till after the reports had been sent to you. There was an adjustment posted in June and we're a cash basis. That should not have been posted there. So when that is corrected, the operations will improve. The total numbers are right, the spread was just not correct, and then it'll be corrected in July. You'll see correct year-to-dates. So nature shops are doing better. I actually met with Kelly yesterday, and we have a formal meeting tomorrow to just kind of go over some of the things they're doing, and they've got a lot of exciting stuff coming up. Many you've heard about with their merch is now at the zoo, at the golf courses, our relationship or our opportunity at the airport and other things. So we are really excited about what's happening with retail, and we're going to see sales drive there through the online sales and just through the new product. I don't know if you've seen some of the stuff they put out, but it's really, really good, and so sales are good there. But through the first 6 months, we're behind, but I'm not concerned because I know why we're behind, and that's what I started with, was the weather has just been a real challenge for everyone, so we hope the weather turns. And I just wanted you to know that in terms of golf, in terms of enterprise, in terms of retail finance, we're talking with them constantly to make sure that we're kind of where we need to be budget-wise. And that's all we have for this month.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, then I think we'll move to the CEO's report.
Good morning, everyone. The first item is 2025 budget adjustment number 6. Wade?
Thank you, Brian. Commissioners, on page 9, you'll see budget adjustment number 6 in the amount of $8,717,893. The detail for the adjustment is on pages 26 and 27. I would point out that $8 million of that total adjustment, over $8 million, was increased appropriations and capital contracts for the Community Sailing Center. And this is already covered by existing restricted donations we've received. We're just appropriating it now, but I would ask your approval of budget adjustment number 6.
Move the approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Next is action item B, adoption of revised Cleveland Metro Parks Codified Rules and Regulations 2025. Rose?
Thank you, Brian. This is our annual update to our regulations that we adopt at the board level. This year, our modifications that we are proposing are very modest. In Chapter 517.02, we wanted to add language which would accommodate a potential collaboration with the Ohio Lottery Commission. And then the rest of the updates are generated by a review of the Ohio Revised Code in comparison to our regulations to make sure we are in conformance with those updates that have happened to the Ohio Revised Code. And those changes are on pages 28 through 29. Nothing of note. We've run it by our chief prosecuting attorney and our police force, and they are good with those changes. So if there are no questions, we would ask that you approve the regulations, and then we will properly publish those, and then they will become effective within 30 days of today's date.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next item is Garfield Boulevard Trail and Green Infrastructure Project Maintenance Agreement. This is a project that dates back to April of 2023. The Cleveland Metro Parks, Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District, Garfield Heights, and the county have all worked together for intergovernmental agency agreement to build, construct, maintain, and enhance. This is just about a mile stretch that connects the towpath to Garfield Park Reservation, where we most recently completed a tremendous amount of renovation and restoration. Essentially, this is part of the strategic mission of connecting, and we were very blessed to be able to partner with all of these agencies, take part of the right-of-way, and actually build this trail section all the way down, which then does connect via the boulevard. Anthony J. Russo has done the approval of the acceptance of the donation, and we are asking for approval to enter into the maintenance agreement, essentially from the end, top of the towpath connector to Garfield Park Reservation. Recommended action falls the top portion of page 12.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next is contract amendment number 3, guaranteed maximum price. This is for the Patrick S. Parker Community Sailing Center. This dates back to 2022. We continue to move forward with progress. This is with Whiting Turner. This is just to continue to move the work along under general conditions. Screen wall interiors, this will just keep coming forward. This is the GMP number 3 in a total of $1,432,445. Bottom portion of page 13.
Now, is that, do they get progress payments then for the construction? How
normally draws, based on work performed.
And how are those then defined by how much of the job is done? Okay, I understand. Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next is award of contract professional services, single sole source, 6960 Irish Town Bend. This project dates back 7+ years and probably even longer. This was something that the Cleveland Metro Parks believed in. There's a host of, again, agencies between the sewer district, NOAACA, Land Studio, the city, the county, a whole host of other agencies that have partnered and worked with this. We are working with the development of the park, the layout, the schematic design, the lighting packages, slope stability, all of those, and we're looking at to enter into a professional services agreement for single source for the Irish Town Bend components with Osborne Engineering as we continue to bring forward the closure of the work that the port is doing towards the end of 2025, looking to take over in mid-portion of 26. We are doing all of the due diligence and the homework that we need to be able to build the structures that we've agreed upon. And to use part of the $10 million from the National Park Service's Outdoor Recreation Legacy Program. Recommended action falls in the bottom portion of page 16.
Brian, can you remind us of the timing of the park development portion of this project?
It's really 26 and 27, and a lot depends on fundraising. Fundraising was really in the wheelhouse of Land Studio. They're going to have a transition of their executive director, so the fundraising will continue. Our goal is to build all of the components that we have fundraised for at the time, to include the Mandela Plaza, the trails through NOAACA and others. So that's what we're setting the stage for. And then other components can come online as funds become available.
Okay, so this is moving as scheduled?
It is. Right now, everything is moving as scheduled.
Great.
In the plan as you see it then, how much do we yet have to raise?
You know, that question I would defer to the Land Studio, okay. and I can get that for you based on what asks they have out and where they're currently at.
Yeah, it's a hell of a project. Absolutely fantastic. Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next action item is the preliminary engineering services for Norfolk Southern Rail Corp Company. This is Ray's Planning Projects, Ohio and Erie Canal and Euclid Creek Reservation. This is part of the Slavic Village Downtown Connector, Morgana Run Booth Avenue, Euclid Creek Greenway, bless you, Extension and Opportunity Corridor. It's a whole host all pulled together, but we need to work with Norfolk Southern in a few different ways. We've had a solid relationship with them. We need to continue. But this is for the preliminary engineering agreement with Norfolk Southern Railroad. The amount is $114,280. It is on the bottom portion or top portion of page 17.
I'm just curious on the source. Is this grant funding raised?
It's our money. Yeah, we're on the pre-end of it because we're still waiting on the rest, but we have to be ready for.
Moving okay. Target?
I hope not.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is professional services agreement, Cleveland Metro Parks Court and Park Improvements, Lakefront Reservation, professional design services. I'm going to have Sean come up real quick, and we'll kind of lay out how, you know, a park dating back to 1893. In October of 2023, it was transferred to Cleveland Metro Parks. We've been working on what we call the consensus plan to include the funding through Jack Joseph at Mort Mandel Foundation, Land Studio, and a host of others that involve the community engagement.
Thank you, Brian. Good morning, commissioners. Happy to present to you some progress at Gordon Park and then ask for approval to keep moving with engineering design. So first, some recent progress. So in October of 23, the 48 acres that is South Gordon Park came to Cleveland Metro Parks. Since then, we've been doing a lot of planning work in partnership with the community, and then also you see the five ball diamonds here. Our staff and team have been doing an amazing job of already creating transition to the park. So Jim Rodstrom and construction division have removed the grandstands, the bleachers, the fields, and then park ops has done an amazing job already establishing what is the central portion of this park in doing a lot of replanting, which you'll see in some plans that we're going to show you, is this wonderful central great lawn. Here are some recent shots of how the park is really coming together even before major capital improvements have been instituted at the park. We do have a team assembled. Next Generation Construction out of Midtown, Cleveland, is our construction manager at risk, and our design team is MKSK, Bieloski, and Osborne Engineering, all of which so far are doing a fantastic job. So we are working from the basis of community input that is what is called the consensus plan. This plan was developed by funding from the Mandel Foundation to Land Studio, who then hired Smith Group to engage the public and specifically the neighborhood around South Gordon Park to take input to see what was most important and what could be really transitioned at the park. And you'll see some pretty major components here. The first is the central one, and that is the great lawn surrounded by amenities, reinstituted parking, a very nice entrance to East 72nd. We're looking at the future for nature play, for water play, for some sport courts. And then on the west side of the park, we're looking for a pavilion, something that can both gain views of the Great Lawn, but also gain views over the lake, and that's an incredible space to catch some sunsets. So this is the basis that was developed through 2024 with the community, and from there then we're moving the project forward. And that's where we are today. This is a little bit more engineered. We're at about 30% complete with engineering, and this is our schematic plan, which takes those elements from the consensus plan, puts a little bit more deep thought into them. For instance, on the pavilion here, we've actually moved it away from the highway because of the noise levels that we measured and moved it closer to the great lawn. We've also found that we really need in some of the first phases to have a restroom building here. We've moved a little bit of where the playground is, but you can see the central feature, this great lawn, still is kind of that prominent feature of the park. So where are we now? We are at the point where we need to start physically doing engineering. So we've asked the construction and design team to put together a proposal to take us through schematic design, design development, and actually do construction documents for first portion of phases. Mandel Foundation has contributed about $8 million to the park, and we are looking at how to best implement those funds in working with Mandel Foundation and the community to then have these first staunch of improvements to hopefully start construction at the end of next year and through 2026. So what's before you today is the request to approve the cost for those construction documents.
So what's south of the tunnel?
What is south of the tunnel?
And who owns it?
So great questions. So what you've seen in the schematic plan here is an alignment that takes advantage of the tunnel over to some industrial lands. Those industrial lands were owned by First Interstate. They have switched hands in the past 18 months to a new owner that we have not yet met with, but we know that they have had some discussions with Western Reserve Land Conservancy. The goal over time is that this tunnel, which Cleveland Metro Parks has rights to that tunnel through our lakefront lease that was amended when we took in the 48 acres of South Gordon Park, is to connect. But that's probably a longer term goal than a short term goal.
Yeah.
Great question.
In the past, that area has been used for a lot of things, including the aquarium and going back a ways. And it never really seemed to be very successful. And what I'm worried about, the water play will be terrific. That'll get a lot of people interested. But other than that, I'm not really seeing much different than, I mean, it's a little bit of refinement what there is now, but there have to be activities that are drawing people there. And I just see one that is really a summer activity that will really be successful. Like the water play could be something like what Beechwood has. And that would be a big one.
Can I just tag on and ask a question that's related to that?
Absolutely.
And can you just share a little bit about the process that, as you went through with the community input?
Yes. So first and foremost, 2024 was spent with the community on the consensus plan. Numerous focus groups, numerous open invitation public meetings, and I would say through that process, there were four really big main takeaways in terms of what we heard the community wanted. And the biggest one was really the access to open space and trails and the ability to walk. And that is where the Great Lawn will provide that. And Commissioner, I think what we've seen at Garfield and what we've seen at some of the other parks, when you give the ability for people to have a loop experience and just to walk on a well-maintained established network, that, quite frankly, is what we expect to see in terms of the energy generator out there and bringing people to the park. That is squarely what the community told us they wanted.
That was actually the number one thing, Dan. I think that that was, when you looked at the ball diamonds and all the fencing, it seemed almost inaccessible for, if you weren't playing a ball sport, you weren't actually coming to the park to use it. Right. And we've started to see pictures of people having picnics and others, and that was the number one. Barbecue pits, sport court, and the playgrounds. Those were the ones and the activities that they were looking for. One, two, three, and four.
Yeah, I remember you could go up there and fill out a questionnaire, which I did. That's good. I mean, it has to be something that's compelling. It's been dangerous in the past. That was sort of the drag racing area.
And to the point of creating a space that is welcoming and safe and comfortable for people, one of the first improvements we're looking at is off of East 72nd is opening up and establishing a new drive into the park that changes the topography so that you can see into the park better from East 72nd, because today it feels defensive. There's just a big wall of dirt along East 72nd, so we want to open that up, invite people into the park, and then when you get into the park, you literally have a view line, and this is by design. You have a view line into this wide open, welcoming, safe space, and then parking very nearby and accessible. So that's one of the big drivers here, including we've spent a lot of time talking about illumination. Right now, the park is oddly illuminated. Now we want to make sure that we have safe illumination, especially around the Great Lawn and then connecting out to Rockefeller Park and the Harrison Dillard Bikeway on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Now, where would the areas where people could have barbecues be?
We've talked about kind of interspersing those areas. First of all, establishing the Great Lawn, seeing how it works and where people want to be. And then, like we've done in other locations, kind of interspersing barbecue pits and picnic pads and picnic tables so that they're both near parking and that also they're accessible by a trail and then also near restrooms.
You may have said, but what's the time frame to get this phase completed?
So in working with the Mandel Foundation, the goal is for the rest of this summer to do this design and then look at pricing, because there's a finite amount of funds available, and then start work late this year, and then in 2026, be constructing some of the first round.
And then you'll gauge feedback further from the community?
Yes, in fact, we're talking about a public meeting at the end of this summer.
We also have a sewer district project that's taking up about 25% of the park, maybe a little less, maybe 20% in the far corner where Sean's circling there. So part of it's inaccessible at this point in time as well. And I'll remind, you know, when we took over the lakefront in 2013, the beach house wasn't built till 17. So, you know, when you start to look at the evolution of process, and I think to your point, Dan, the community, the engagement from St. Clair Superior, the council, all of the folks really had an opportunity to weigh in on the components. And then they were rank ordered by which what the park had to give as assets. And then that's what the consensus plan basically came out with.
Okay.
And when are the elections for wards?
November.
With that, happy to answer any questions you may have.
Great job, Sean. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great questions, Commissioners. Recommended action falls in the bottom portion, page 19.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Just have one commodity uses report, just continuation of 6786 various aggregate stone on page 20. Just consumption. We need more capacity. Recommended action falls top portion of page 20.
Approve the motion.
Second. Move. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Vouchers and payroll.
Thank you, Brian. Commissioners, on page 24, you'll see resolution 25-07-104 in the amount of $16,428,227.51. All of the vouchers have been reviewed as to their legality, and the expenditures conform with the Ohio Revised Code. I would just ask your approval of that resolution.
Move the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That leads us to public comment. Any public comment? Marty?
Yes.
Parks are for peace, recreation, nature, conservation, not for making money, as said to me recently, referring to Metro Parks, clearly echoed by many others. But how best to accomplish and fund that? In-house enterprise was heralded as a means to reduce the taxpayers' burden. It hasn't worked out that way. Instead, we get a new, bigger levy, a $300 million budget, and enterprise everywhere. New concession beyond just a useful snack bar. Yet 6 months into 2025, and total surplus from all of enterprise is a mere $57,000. I know, it's the weather, it's increased salaries, it's increased materials. Yep, it's always something, and you need to deal with it. Lacking public work sessions or detailed discussions leaves how you'll do it open to conjecture. Grand total year to date for Merwin's Wharf is less than $20,000. What would a private operator pay you to run it? With a $280 loss, Emerald Necklace Restaurant is still and forever in the hole. It will never come close to repaying the cost of remodeling, which was surely going to turn it around. Not having to recruit, train, manage, and pay those employees would be literally priceless and reduce the $850,000 cost so far for enterprise admin. So why are these venues being run in-house? Rzepka, a smart enough businessman to get you to buy the golf course, got Metro Parks to move those contracts to the private sector. Let an experienced entrepreneur run them. Just deposit the rental fees. It got changed back. Property taxes this year are behind even last year's, not merely short of increases from higher assessments. No telling what Columbus will decide to roll back, but even inside millage may be at risk. Instead of bigger, grander projects with their future maintenance, let's hear about how you plan to keep the essential stuff funded and functioning. The soccer folks should fend for themselves. The cost of maintaining billionaire sports venues should not be sucking up our tax dollars or unclaimed funds. Metro Park's latest and worst revenue moves appear to be hazardous to our health and counter to your chain values. Selling cigars and now perhaps gambling to raise money? Is there nothing sacred to Stinchcomb's legacy? We don't need to drink or smoke or bet to enjoy the priceless natural surroundings which you hold for us. Any claim you need that to generate income is an excuse, not a reason. I'm sure I'll get blowback on this, but detailed public discussions would leave me less to criticize, as well as providing solid information for your visitors and taxpayers. In the meanwhile, please do the right thing. Thank you.
Can I make a comment here? The issue of, like, if we were to build more trails, would we get more people walking? And I'm not sure we would. I mean, I think this idea of how much you grow the trails is important, but I think it's not. I don't think we're wasting a lot of money on, like the Marvin's Wharf restaurant would not have been built. No, you wouldn't have been able to get an operator to operate it. It's not a a profitable thing, but we needed activity there. And so I think that was the success of it, and it was part of that whole initiative of moving along the river there. You had to have some sort of an event that is continuous. I think you can look at each case, and I think we can make a very good case for all of these things that we've done. I'm very proud of the job. I would like to see more bicycles used, bicycle trails, but you know, I won't talk about that too much more.
Thanks for your comments, Commissioner. Rose, could you do us a favor just to clarify the code changes that are being made relative to the gambling, the gaming?
Sure. You know, our internal team is having some discussion with the Ohio Lottery Commission, and so there may be some opportunities for sales of some different products of, you know, that the Lottery Commission offers. And again, it's, you know, Marty suggested, and we all have our eyes on the cuts that are being contemplated in Columbus, and their mantra is that governmental entities need to diversify their revenue streams. And that is exactly the model that we have captured here and that we are living and breathing. And the activity that is generated, bringing people to Merwin's Wharf, bringing people to the river, and is in lockstep with our recreation mission. And all of these complement the recreation focus. So we are doing exactly what the General Assembly is calling upon local governments to do, and that is diversify revenue streams. And we are running these operations better than the third parties who were on public land making a profit. And so I stand by everything that this administration is doing, which has ranked us as one of the top parks in this country.
Thank you.
I would also, the debate on public versus private, since I've been here, we've had more go bankrupt. So if the private concessionaires are so successful, Sammy's is a great example. They went bankrupt. And so when you look at what we're doing in controlling costs and controlling our brand and controlling our product, that's where we're actually headed to. So whether we turn $1 or $10, it's our product versus somebody else's. I will also tell you the bill collectors were coming to us for almost every concessionaire because they weren't paying their bills. And so the shift was made to be able to run those operations in-house with our own staff.
Great, thank you. Any other comments? Any other public comment? I see no informational briefing today, no old business. So we do have an executive session.
Yes, is there a motion to go into executive session to discuss the purposes of the purchase or acquisition of real property?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yvette Itu?
Yes.
Dan Moore?
Yes.
Bruce Rinker?
Yes.
Motion to come out of executive session.
And adjourn the meeting.
And adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.